Japan held its first international basketball tournament in 1917. That's right, 1917. Over the past century, the sport has had its ups and downs in that country, and Japanese clubs, like those in lots of countries, turn to American players to boost their popularity. And American players go, many to extend careers that would otherwise end. But our next story isn't about a guy who's playing in Japan just so that he can keep playing. Ira Brown, formerly of Corsicana, Texas, is playing in Japan because he's finally found a home. Abigail Leonard has the story.
It's game night in downtown Tokyo. This is the first season of Japan's latest premier basketball league, so many of the people filling the stands have never seen a game before. The home team, the Shibuya Sunrockers, is hoping to win over the crowd by putting on a show. Forward Ira Brown, a 34-year-old American, gets things started.
Brown just dunked over the heads of a whole bunch of other players.
On their next possession, Brown feeds the ball to a teammate for another 2 points.
Assist Ira!
Tokyo is maybe not where you'd expect a 6'4 broad-shouldered black guy from Texas to end up. But the style of play in Japan is part of why Ira Brown is here.
There are a lot of NBA players that come over here and try to be more ball dominant because of course, in the States, that's what you have to be. But here in Japan, it's like, it's not necessary. They simply want you to be a good team player.
Do you like that feeling more than the ball dominant feeling you were describing?
Oh, I love that feeling because with me, mostly it's like family oriented. I feel like if the team succeeds, I succeed.
Being part of a strong, stable family is important to Brown. He didn't have that growing up back in Corsicana, Texas.
The adults of our family, they were on drugs and or they were out in just running the streets pretty much. And my mom and dad were on drugs really bad. You walk in and see your mom doing crack or catching your dad doing it or whatever. The living situation was kind of like, okay, you either sleep on the floor or you sleep on top of clothing or you sleep on top of wherever you can possibly sleep is where we slept.
Brown said they didn't have running water to do laundry or take showers. So at school, he and his cousins got teased for smelling bad. They were called Dirty Brown and were always getting in fights.
Did you ever feel sort of hopeless being in that kind of situation?
Well, in all honesty, I felt hopeless, but I knew that it's either to continue to be poor or to continue to smell bad or continue to do all these things or just simply do something about it. Like, I'd borrow the lawnmower and go mow lawns and stuff in order to get money. And we picked up pecans in sacks, and we'd go sell up the pecans or whatever to the local pecan factory or whatever. So it's like there was always ways in which I wanted to earn money and earn it the honest way.
Things finally reached a breaking point when Brown was 9, living in a house on the east side of town.
We had quite a few family members there, probably about 20, 25 family members in a 3-bedroom house.
One day, he and his cousins got in a rough fight with a family down the block.
And then that evening, they threw a cocktail bomb in our house and ended up burning our house down.
The family scattered. Brown went to live with his grandmother, a woman who knew something about overcoming adversity. She'd lost both legs to diabetes, but he says she still kept a positive attitude. And there were other inspiring adults, too, like Milton, Brown's math tutor.
He was pretty much my father figure, in which I looked up to visiting every single week. And like, he had this really huge ring on his hand, and he always like let me play with it or whatever, let me put it on my finger, and it was like a championship ring of some sort. I don't remember exact.
Brown says that ring inspired him to dream big, and he pushed himself. He became a high school basketball and baseball star and was drafted in 2001 by the Kansas City Royals.
I was a starting pitcher first in my career, and then later in my career I was a reliever. Topped out at 97 miles per hour.
And after 5 years in the minors, he couldn't see a future in baseball. So he decided to go to college and play basketball instead. He chose Gonzaga University. The biggest draw was its warm community.
When I went there for my visit, I fell in love with the place. Everybody knew everybody, and it was just one big family.
And he made them proud, soaring over the competition with a 45.5-inch vertical.
Lob, Brown!
Brown finally got that ring he'd dreamed of as a boy. three of them, in fact.
I got the WCC championship 2 years in a row, and I also got a Sweet 16 ring for basketball in the NCAA tournament.
After college, he played briefly in the NBA Development League, then went overseas to teams in Mexico, Argentina, the Philippines, and finally, Japan. Brown is happy here, riding the train into downtown Tokyo for games, alongside weary salarymen and dolled up Harajuku girls. But still, his childhood haunted him. He feared repeating his parents' sins, so he turned to his faith, went on a fast, and abstained from sex. It was tough, though.
I was like, God, like, this is hard for me. And so I was like, if you really want me to do this, then you would send me a wife.
Then, a few weeks later, at a friend's birthday party, he met Ayaka.
And we sat there on the couch and chatted for like 3 hours straight, and I was like, man, this is my wife. And so sure enough, we got married.
Ayaka provided the strong, stable family life he'd been seeking.
We're closer to her family to whereas we can take care of them. Because that's one thing I really, really admire about the Japanese culture is that they take care of their elderly.
So he resolved to fully commit to Japan by getting his citizenship. It wasn't easy. The application process took 2 years, and then there was a difficult language test.
At the bottom of it says, what's your hobby? So I put, my hobby is like watching sumo, eating sushi, and going to the onsen. So I ended up passing the test, yeah.
That's the right answer, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Oh, that is amazing. Yeah. Wow.
Becoming a citizen has also helped Brown's basketball career. Rules limit the number of foreigners allowed on the court, but now he can play the whole game, a real advantage for his team. It also means he can play on the Japanese national team. Last year, he traveled to Iran for the regional championships. Next up, he hopes, the Tokyo Olympics. Japan is hoping to qualify an Olympic men's basketball team for the first time since 1976. As the sport improves, more kids here are starting to play, and they look to Brown for inspiration.
So the Sunwalkers are all lining up now in the middle of the court, taking a bow, thanking the fans for coming. So they bow to each side of the stadium, give a wave.
Then fans come courtside, and Brown runs down the line, giving them high fives and a wide smile. It's a long way from tiny Corsicana, Texas. But every summer, Brown still goes back, bringing kids there donated basketball shoes and a little bit of hope.
What do you tell them about being hopeful? I mean, for kids who maybe have the same kind of childhood that you had.
Well, I just tell them, like, no matter the situation or circumstance, understand that, like, there is always something that you can do to succeed. Don't ever count yourself out because of the hand that you were dealt with.
For Only a Game, I'm Abigail Leonard in Tokyo.
Soon after graduating from college, Pete Strickland was invited to play professional basketball in Ireland. But when he arrived at Shannon Airport, nobody was there to greet him. And he thought,
this is as good a prank as my friends have ever played on me. These guys are good. My buddies are good.
That's just ahead on Only a Game. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Only a Game NPR.